Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
I want to welcome everyone that's joining us for our service online, on air, or you are gathered as a small group, or even a church in Juba, South Sudan. Thanks for being a part of our service today. We begin a brand new series today as we prepare ourselves for our annual Miracle Missions offering. It's an exciting season here at Watoto Church because we get to exercise extravagant generosity to advance God's kingdom. We love this season of giving. You know what? Jesus said, and this was a quotation from Jesus' words in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Jesus said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." But many people today have it wrong. They think it's more blessed to receive than to actually give. Now, that kind of mindset promotes a culture of greed. It promotes a culture of corruption. It promotes a culture of give me, give me, give me. And that never builds your life. Jesus said, actually, we gotta change culture, that we need to break the cycle of just receive and give me to being a blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So through this series, we wanna change culture from one of greed to one of generosity. Let's pray as we dive into the message today. Father, I thank you so much for the power of your word, and I pray today that you will speak to us when it comes to generosity. We give you honor in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Now, as we launch the series, I have a question for you. What kind of life would you want to live? For some of you, you have probably defined the kind of life you want to live. For others, we may have not figured it out yet, but we all have a certain picture of the kind of life that we would love to live. Now, that's a good question, but the only challenge is that it places the responsibility of defining and determining your life on you as an individual, on me as an individual. And here's the problem. As individuals, we have limitations. We have limitations when it comes to our giftings, limitations in terms of qualifications. We have weaknesses. Maybe our background wasn't great. And so it puts too much pressure on us. In fact, the older we get, the more we become aware of our limitations. I think about my own children. They all have dreams. Our Watoto children, we always ask them, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a pilot. I want to be a doctor. They have all kinds of dreams. I want to be an engineer. And when they start school, it's okay for engineers. You can begin to count one up to 100, and maybe you can do simple addition. It gets more complicated when you get to a point where they're asking you to find X. X squared minus 1 divided by 3 equals 1. Find X. Up to today, there are some of us who are still trying to find X. And when you realize you can never find X, and then it goes to Y and Z, you begin to think, maybe I can't be an engineer. Because we become aware of our limitations. So that question puts the responsibility on you. A better question to ask is this. What kind of life does God want me to live? Does God want you to live? All of a sudden, it shifts the responsibility of the kind of life we want to live to God, who is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing. He's the creator of everything. With God, nothing is impossible. It shifts our understanding of life to one of limitless possibilities. Now listen, here's the kind of life God wants you to live. God wants you to live a blessed life. And that's going to be our series titles, The Blessed Life. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 to 8, here's what the word of the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Cursed is the person who depends on themselves, trusting in the arm of flesh. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. They will be in dire situations. Verse 7 changes the tone. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no fears in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Blessed is a person who trusts in the Lord. Now, I've met some people who have a very false view about God. And it's both Christians and non-Christians. They think that God is very restrictive in his ways. They think that God doesn't want them to enjoy life. They think that God is one who withholds good things from us, and he wants us to suffer, that he only watches out to punish us. But that's a lie from the pit of hell, my friends. And we need to reject that lie, because it's Satan's lies. And he's always used this strategy from the beginning. He causes people to doubt the goodness of God. But as we reject that lie, we must embrace this truth that God is good. And he's a good father who wants us to live a blessed life. Hear the heart of God in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verses 15 to 20. He's speaking to the children of Israel, and he's actually encouraging them as they get ready to go into the promised land. Here's what God says. Hear the heart of Father God. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering in to possess. God wants to bless us. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. And verse 19 says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live. God wants to bless us, my friends. From this portion of scripture, we see God's heart, and it is to bless. The choice is ours if we're going to live that blessed life. He says all we need to do is to follow his word, is to walk in obedience and to love him with all our hearts. Then we will live that blessed life. So what is a blessed life? How do you define a blessed life? Here's a simple definition. A blessed life is one where we have a combination of God's favor and his power, supernatural power, working in our lives. That's a blessed life. God's favor means that whatever my hands find to do, God blesses it and it prospers. His supernatural power means that I can experience miracles in my life. Whatever is impossible, God turns it to a possibility. That's a blessed life. God's favor and his supernatural power working in our lives. Now, there's a very important key if we are to live a blessed life. And it is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which is going to be our theme verse. It's been our theme verse as we're taught this entire year. And here's what it says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, when the Bible talks about things, it's referring to food and clothes and shelter, health, peace, joy, finances, name it, whatever we need to live a blessed life. God says if we put him first, all these things shall be added to us. Now, the blessed life is a holistic life. But for this series, we're going to be focusing on the area of finances. If you want to live a blessed life financially, we need to put God's kingdom first. Now, many of us sometimes shy away from the subject of money and finances. And I do understand, because there's been a lot of abuse and misuse and manipulation, lack of integrity and lack of accountability in the area of finance. There's a lot of unbalanced and unbiblical teaching on finance out there. But actually, God has a lot to say when it comes to money. And when we apply his principles and put his kingdom first, I want to tell you, God will take us from a place of financial stress and lack, and he wants to bless us in the area of finances. We got to learn to put his kingdom first. I got to tell you a story that I love. Actually, it's by a pastor in the U.S., Pastor Robert Morris, and he's written the book, The Blessed Life, which is amazing. If you can get it, it will encourage you in living a generous life. Robert and his wife were itinerant preachers. They were evangelists, and they moved from place to place to preach based on invitations. And one particular month, Pastor Robert shares, they had big bills and only one invitation. And they knew there was just no way that one invitation would yield, you know, finances to help them meet those bills. But they chose to go, and it was miles away. They had an old car and decided to drive. The first thing that happened was when he went to the gas station, filled in his gas, and he was ready to pay for it, the attendant said, "Oh, you don't have to pay. I've already paid." And he said, "Why?" Because God had spoken to that attendant that Robert and his wife were traveling evangelists, and so she paid that bill. And wow, he was excited. Anyway, they get to this church, and service was great. There was a missionary who shared the work that they were doing, and Pastor Morris came and preached, and it was powerful. And usually they give a love offering for the preacher, and that day they gave a love offering, and the pastor came to Pastor Robert and said, "You know what? This is the biggest love offering we've ever given." And so he gave the check to Pastor Robert Morris, and Robert gets it and is thanking God for provision. And at that point, Pastor Robert's eyes got caught up with the missionary who was just at the back of the church. And when he saw the missionary, God said to Pastor Robert, "Give him all that offering." He ignored that voice. And God said, "Trust me." But Robert had learned to put God's kingdom first. So he obeyed God. It wasn't very easy, and gave the check. Anyway, long story short, later, Pastor Robert is having a meal with other people, and a gentleman seated opposite him asked him, "Hey, how much money did you get in the offering?" Very strange question. Many people don't want to disclose, you know, their money values. And so Robert is like, "That's strange." And the man insisted. So Pastor Robert told him. And this man continued and said, "Where is the check?" Now, Pastor Robert, wanting to be humble, he tried to dodge the question, and the man insisted, "Where is the check?" When Pastor Robert saw that the man wasn't letting go, he said to him, "Actually, the check is probably in the car." And the man said, "That's not true." And Robert said, "How do you know that?" And then the man said, "Because God told me, and he told me something else." At that point, the man spoke to Pastor Robert's heart, words that rode like thunder through his life. And this is what the man said. I'm going to quote from his book. "God is about to teach you about giving so that you can teach the body of Christ." With that, the man wrote a check and slid the check over to Pastor Robert. And to the penny, it was 10 times what he had given away. It's amazing what God can do when we choose to put God's kingdom first in the area of finances. It's amazing when we apply biblical principles in our finances. It's amazing when we participate in spirit-led generosity giving. Put God's kingdom first, and we will live a blessed life. Now you may ask me why. Why is it important to put God's kingdom first? Today I will talk about the why, and in the next number of weeks we will talk about the how you can do that. The first reason is this, why we must put God's kingdom first. Number one, it is God who ultimately gives us the ability to make wealth. It is God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, again going back to the story of the children of Israel, verses 10 to 18, here's what God says. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, failing to observe his laws and his decrees that I'm giving to you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then verse 17 says, you may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Friends, the very opportunity to make wealth and ability comes from God. And so we need to put him first because it comes from him. When you think about your career, your business, your education journey, your skills that you have, the contract you may have got, the opportunities God has given to you. Please remember, it's not because you're so smart. Yes, God has made you smart. And don't think it's by your own strength that those things have happened. Remember, it is the Lord your God who gives you the ability to make wealth. That's why we put him first. We recognize that everything that we have comes from that ability and blessing from God. Now, sometimes our ability to make wealth will take us to places where our character can't handle the wealth that God has given to us. Listen to me. Wealth without character is a disaster. And so what does God do? Not only does God give us ability to make wealth, he gives us principles and values that will shape our character so we can handle the wealth that he blesses us with. And the only way to do that is when we put God's kingdom first. He will give us the grace to steward that ability. And he will give us the grace to sustain the character that will handle the wealth and the blessings of God. So the first reason why we must put God's kingdom first is that it is him who gives us the ability to make wealth. Second reason is this. When we put God's kingdom first, we store up treasure in heaven. And when we do that, we will expect an eternal reward. Matthew 6 and verse 19 to 21, this is what Jesus said. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Where neither moth nor rust can destroy and where thieves do not break in nor steal. And verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When we put God's kingdom first, you know what we are saying? God, your kingdom is my treasure. And when we do that, we store up for ourselves wealth in heaven. There's a story I heard, and it's a funny story. It's not true, but it will drive down the point. One time, a gentleman made it to heaven by the skin of their teeth, and many of us try to do that. We want to just escape into heaven. You don't have to be like that. You have to have the confidence of a child of God. Anyway, he made it to heaven, and he was surprised. And so the story goes that an angel took him on a tour around heaven, and as he kept moving around, he saw these huge mansions. And so he asked the angel, wow, whose are these? And the angel said, these are the rewards for the children of God. And so this man began to wonder, I wonder how what mine is going to look like. And all of a sudden, he began to think about his life on earth, the kind of life he lived, and he kept walking. And they reached a spot, turned the corner, and guess what? There was a little shack that was there. And the angel said, welcome to your dwelling place for the rest of eternity. And this man was shocked. He said, how can this be? I didn't even live like this. And then the angel said, this is what we could afford with what you gave. Now, I know that is not true, but it drives the point home. When we put God's kingdom first in our finances, we are storing up treasure for us in heaven. How do we do that? Every time we tithe, we give a tenth of our increase to God. we are storing up treasure in heaven. Each time we give offerings, each time we support godly church initiatives, each time we sponsor a child or help a vulnerable woman, each time you give to the poor, in fact, the Bible says you are lending to God, there will be an eternal reward and it can never be destroyed. So why put God's kingdom first in our finances? We are storing up treasure in heaven. And the final reason why it's important to put God's kingdom first in the area of finances is that God rewards generosity even here on earth. It's not just in eternity. He rewards generosity here on earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 that we talked about, God says all these things will be added to you, including long life. Here's a powerful biblical principle on giving. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. It says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I love the Passion Translation. Here's what it says. Give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Wow! Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. That's a biblical principle, my friends. When we give, God blesses us. Now, we don't give to be blessed, but when we give, God blesses us. He rewards generosity, and we can never outgive God. I remember Vanita and I once decided that we would use our Christmas vouchers that we had received to bless a vulnerable woman in the community. And we usually have Christmas presentations here, so I was engaged in the presentations, and Vanita did the shopping and blessed this woman who had about 6 or 7 children and scrambling for life. And we just wanted to make a difference. We didn't even know her. December passed and January came. Usually people have January blues. They begin to think, wow, this month of January is like a whole year because they are running out of money. In the middle of that month, somebody calls me from the UK and says, hey, Pastor, I want to bless you guys. This gentleman was a host of mine many years ago. And he just said, I want to bless you. Literally speaking, the amount he blessed us with was close to 10 times what we had blessed that poor woman with. We can never outgive God. Sometimes God will ask us to give away more than we have ever given. He will stretch us like the miracle offering when we ask Him, God, how do you want me to participate? He may put a figure in your heart or something in your heart that is way beyond your wildest dreams of giving. And He does that actually to test us. He did it for Abraham, saying, Abraham, you've gotten a son, but I want you to give that son back to me, to sacrifice that son. Sometimes God asks us to give such things, but here's the truth, my friends. We will never outgive God. We will never outgive Him. I'll end with this story again from Robert Morris. And here's what he says. I'm going to read a portion from his book. He says, from that time, God was teaching him on giving. He says, in the course of 18 months, it was our privilege to give away 9 vehicles. Wow. What's more, he says, we were able to increase our giving to 70% of our gross income. We found ourselves living more comfortably on 30% of our gross than we previously had on 90%. We can never outgive God. But there came a time where the real test came. God asked Pastor Robert Morris and his wife to give away the 2 cars they had, to give away all the money that was in their bank account. And that's not enough. God told them, give out your house. And He showed them who they were to give this to. Wow, that is a test of putting God's kingdom first. Now at that point, Pastor Robert knew what was the right thing to do. And he said, okay, we will do it. And then the phone rang. This has been his experience. And there was a gentleman on the other side who spoke to him who knew nothing about what Pastor Robert and Debbie, his wife, had decided to give. And the man spoke and said, hey, Pastor, God has told me to help you with your transportation. So here's what Pastor Robert says. I want to read it. He says, my immediate thought was, well, that's a blessing. This man is going to give us a car. My assumption was that the pattern we had seen repeat itself so many times was about to play out once more. I must also admit, Robert says, that I thought, well, Lord, even if he gives us a car, the fact remains that we gave away two cars and all of our money and, in effect, our house. So I think I've still got you. So I asked the man on the phone, what did the Lord tell you to do? He answered, listen to this. The Lord told me to buy you an airplane. I was speechless. And the man continued and said, as a matter of fact, I bought the plane today and I've packed it at the airport and I'm going to pay for the hangar and I'm going to pay for the fuel and I'm going to pay for the insurance and maintenance of the airplane and I've also hired a pilot. I'm going to pay his salary. So anytime you want to go somewhere, just call him and he will fly you there. I'll take care of all expenses. As I stood there stammering and stunned, I heard the still small voice of the Lord whisper in my spirit, gotcha. We can never outgive God, my friends. So what have I been saying? God wants you to live a blessed life. The blessed life is an adventure where we experience God's favor and His supernatural power working in our lives. The key to living a blessed life is found in Matthew 6:33. It's about putting God's kingdom first, even in the area of finances. Why? It is God who gives us the ability to make wealth. And when we put God's kingdom first in our finances, we store up treasure in heaven, and God rewards generosity. I know these series are going to be life-changing. So don't you dare miss any of the coming weeks. But I also encourage you to open up your heart and let God speak to you in the area concerning finances. Now let me close by going back to Matthew 6:33. Have you put God's kingdom first? I know you may want to live a blessed life. God wants you to live a blessed life. But is His kingdom first? Is He first in your life? God wants to be your king and your savior. He just doesn't want to bless you. He wants to save you so you can be His child. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've walked away from Him. Maybe you've mixed God with other things. Right now, I'd like you to surrender your life to Him and put Him first completely. Let me lead you in a simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. In fact, repeat these words. Say, I thank you that you died on a cross to save me from sin. Today, I invite you into my life. I put you first. I choose to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen. Wow, friends, if you prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God. You can walk confidently knowing that the old is gone, the new has come. You are a part of the family of God like we saw in the book of Ephesians. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Please let us know because we want to walk with you. We want to support you in the first few steps of your journey by clicking the link below your screen or you can write to us at connect@watotochurch.com. Welcome to the most fantastic family, the family of the blessed, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. Thanks for being a part of church today. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.